in the Word of God, if you will, turn me in the Bible to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, if you will. And we know this is a gospel record. There's four gospel records, and then there's the Acts of Jesus Christ and as the Holy Spirit of God. But we have here in Luke chapter 22, and we have a great story before us, and we know Jesus Christ is approaching His crucifixion. He's going to die for all of mankind. No matter if you're black or white, rich or poor, Christ was going to die for the world so we could be saved from sin. And here He had His disciples with Him, and He had the inner circle here with Him. He had Peter, which I believe you could say was a spokesman for the disciples. And here, if you would, look in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." We're going to get a little bit deep in this passage of Scripture tonight, but we know Christ was talking to Simon Peter. We know Peter was one of the followers of Jesus Christ, a fisherman by trade. And he left his boats and left his father and left his nets to follow Jesus Christ to fish for men. And here, Jesus Christ said, "Peter, I want you to know something. Satan has desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat." And we know what the sifting process is when you take corn or meal and you put it in a bowl and you crush it up and you get the good stuff out of the chaff that was surrounding the piece of material that you want, and they would sling it up in the air, not real high, but high enough so the wind could come and blow away the chaff that was undesirable. And my friend, sometimes sifting is a good thing. When God sifts us and get the world and the flesh and the devil out of our lives, that's a good thing. And my friend, if you belong to God, you will be sifted. God many times will sift you. And my friend, it's different from chastening. God chastens those who He loves. And the Bible says, "If ye without chastisement, then are ye bastards and not sons." That means God's not your father. But my friend, God does sift us in our Christian lives. And God removes the evil, wicked, and maybe the weights that's in our lives that would stop us from serving Jesus. We think about the book of Hebrews. The Bible says, lay aside every sin and weight which doeth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But here, the Lord, Jesus Christ, said, "Peter, Satan has desired to sift you." He said, Satan wants to sift you, Peter. And I believe, my friend, Satan will not sift Peter to remove the bad things. The devil wants to sift Peter to remove the good things, so he'll leave the bad things in his life. I want you to know tonight, my friend, just by speaking to you, that we can remove all the bad things in our lives, and we will still be no better for Jesus. It's not until we remove the bad things and allow good things to take their place. We recall the story in the New Testament about a man. The unclean spirit left a man, and the Bible says he is swept and garnished. And when the evil spirit come back, he found him swept and swept and clean, and he brought back more evil spirits than what was before. My friend, we have to crowd ourselves to Christ. We have to allow Christ to crowd our lives. And that's something I'm working on. That's something all of us should be working on. But here Jesus said, "Peter, Satan has desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, to remove away all the good things that I've put in your life the past 3 years." And Satan desires to have all of us tonight, that he may sift us as wheat. Notice verse 32. The Bible says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted..." Now that conversion here is not for salvation. I believe Peter was already saved. He's already trusted Christ as his Savior. But the word converted means to be turned around. In other words, Jesus Christ was saying, "Peter, when Satan desires to have you, he's going to sift you as wheat. And there's going to be a time in your life when you're going to walk afar off from me. But when you see the error of your ways and you get converted," he said, "I want you to strengthen your brethren." And that's something all of us can take to heart tonight, that we should be here to strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ. My friend, all of us go through a difficult time. I'm looking around and I know some people's personal lives, and I know people's suffering and people's going through awful time. I had my grandmother. I love her to death. She stopped me at the church service. She said, honey, I need to talk to you. And so I talked to her. She told me about some problems that was in her life. You know what she needs? She just needs somebody to care. And she needs somebody to talk to. And she needs somebody to pray for. In fact, my friend, last night in our prayer meeting service, when we got through, we hung around and talked and fellowship for a little bit like we always do. And a truck come down a parking lot. We'd never seen the truck before. It was probably about 8:30 at night, somewhere around there, 9 o'clock. And a truck was coming down our driveway, and we saw the headlights, and he pulled in real softly and real quietly, and he parked the truck, and I grabbed my Bible and went to him to see if I can help him. He asked me, he said, are you the pastor of the church? I said, I sure am. He said, well, I was just riding by, and I saw some vehicles here in your church, and I just wanted to stop by because I need your help. And automatically I thought, well, maybe he needs money for his lights, or maybe he needs groceries for his house, or maybe he needs a tank of gas. So I asked real politely, I said, sir, what can we do for you? He hung his head down. He said, I just need someone to pray for me. He never asked for a dollar, never asked for a dime, never asked for one drop of gas. He said, I just need someone to pray for me. I said, what can I pray for you about? He told me the situation he was in. He told me the situation about his church and about his family and what the devil was doing in that realm or that aspect of his church and family. And that night I had the privilege to pray for him and pray with him and ask the Lord to help him. Here Jesus Christ said, Peter, when you're converted, when you've seen the error of your ways and you're turned back, my friend, he said, hey, strengthen the brethren. He said, take all that you lived in your Christian life. Take the times you walked far away from God. Take the times you was real close to the Lord. And the Lord took you up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And He transfigured in front of your eyes. Take those glorious times, but also take those bad times. And use all those times to help and strengthen your brethren. Many times the things you've been through is things I'm going to go through. My friend, I need to hear how God brung you through it. Because it would encourage me. Many times me and my wife is going to go through something that another husband, another wife has went through. And we need to hear how God has sustained and how God has helped and how God was faithful in your marriage. So we'll know that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And how God helped you, God can help us. Here Jesus Christ said, Peter, strengthen your brethren. Notice what it says in verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou, that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. While Peter had his mind, didn't exactly turn out the way he thought it should have turned out. By God's help, I want to try to preach tonight, preparing for the future. Preparing for the future. I want you to know, my friend, there's some things we've got to do now to prepare for then. I want you to see the first thing, the desires of Satan. Look here, if you would, in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Here, I believe Peter was almost in his zenith here in his Christian life. He is at the pinnacle in his Christian life. And Jesus Christ said, Peter, I hate to burst your bubble, but Satan has the desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I want you to know tonight, if you're saved by God's grace, the devil wants to have you. The devil has all desires to sift you, to get to you, to allow something to happen in your life. To cause you to stop serving Jesus. Here the devil was coming to Peter. And Jesus said, Peter, I want you to be forewarned. The devil desires to have you. He has all intentions of being right where you're at. And we've heard this a million times. The devil will walk by the cage, the door of your cage, 1,000 times just to find it open one time so he can stick his toe in, so he can ease his way into your house. The devil's not there just to kick in the door and bust it down. The devil's there to ease and to squirm and to slide his way into your life. And God says, Peter, Satan has desired to have you. I want you to know if you're saved tonight, you've got a big old bullseye on you for the devil. If you're going to live for Jesus tonight, you've got a big old red dot, and the devil's going to do all he can. To my friend, to send his flaming fiery darts. He's going to do all he can to send his demons, the wiles of the devil, to try to disturb you and knock you off of your path, and you're on for Jesus. My friend, don't get in your heart and mind that just because you're saved, you're not going to have a problem with the devil. I didn't have a problem with the devil until I got saved. I didn't have a problem with Satan until I got saved. And the very day I got saved, the very Tuesday night I got saved, I realized then I had a problem with the devil, and he was never going to leave me alone until I get to a wonderful place called heaven. But that's what makes it so special. Because the devil can't go there. We'll be with Jesus Christ. But here Jesus said, Peter, Satan has a desire to have you. I want you to see what Satan wants to do. Turn here, if you would, to 1 Peter. Keep your place there in Luke chapter 22. And turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. My friend, the devil's not your friend tonight. The devil's our enemy. The devil's a sly, no good for nothing devil. And he's going to do all he can to ease his way into our lives and get us from serving Jesus. Look here, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Stop for a minute. Boy, that would be a good verse for all of us to live every day, is just to cast our care upon him, because he cares for us. Hey, just take your problems and take your heartaches and take your sickness and take your pains and take your problems. Hey, and just give them to Jesus Christ, because he's bigger than all of our problems put together. It says here, if you would, in verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. I want you to piece this verse together with me, if you will. In verse 8, the Bible says, be sober. Hey, that's to be on guard. That's to be watchful. That's to be alert. It says, be vigilant. Hey, it means to stand your position strong and to keep your eyes wide open. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, someone that's against you. You know, it's not your pastor tonight. It's not the deacon tonight. It's not the trustees tonight. It's not your Sunday school teacher tonight. It's surely not your boss, man, or your wife, or your husband, or your children. The ones that's against you tonight is the devil. And he'll do anything he can and use anybody he can to get to you. You know what I found out? I really want you to listen to this one part here. If you don't get nothing else, get this one part tonight. If the devil can't get to you, the devil will use someone else to get to you. If the devil can't get directly to you, personally, face to face, hey, the devil will use a husband, the devil will use a wife, the devil will use your children, the devil will use your boss man, your neighbors, your mother, your father, your friends, anybody he can to get to you, to cause you to stop loving Jesus. Sometimes the devil uses church members to get to you, to knock you off the course that God has put you on. The devil's not your friend. The Bible says the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. He's wanting to devour all of us. He wants to devour you if you're saved tonight. He'll do whatever he can to get to you. He'll use your job. And the boss man say, hey, I know what you can do. You can work some overtime on Sunday and make double time and catch your bills up. The devil can do that. The devil can say, hey, why don't you just stay home on Wednesday night and your favorite show's coming on TV. Just stay home and watch it, eat your popcorn and drink your Pepsi. You don't have to go to church. The devil can use a TV set. The devil can also use your own family to get you away from the Lord. The Bible says he's our adversary. He's a roaring lion walking about. You know what he's doing? He's pacing about. Every day he's pacing about. He's just pacing back and forth, trying to get away, trying to find a way, trying to see a way that he can get to you personally. He's walking back and forth just so, my friend, he can see your life cracked open one time that he can stick his foot in and cause you to wreck and ruin your life. You know who our enemy is tonight? It's not our government. It's not our mayors. It's not our president. It's not even other countries. It's the devil. The Bible says here in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, it tells you who it is, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking who he may devour. God's trying to devour us tonight. And I see it in people's families. I see it in people's lives. I see it in people's jobs. The devil's good at what he does. The devil's real good at what he does. The Bible said that Peter was going to be sifted by the devil. Well, that's something none of us want to go through. That's not something I want to go through, not something you want to go through. Let me read it for you again. The Bible says here, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had a desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. In other words, the devil's going to come to you and wreck and try to ruin your life. He's going to try to steal, to kill, and destroy everything God's put in your life. The devil's there to sift you by any means necessary. Do we have that in our hearts and minds tonight? The devil's not our friend, and he's out to sift us any way possible. Might be through a child. And you've done your best to raise a child. And now the child is gone away from God and out there living in the world. And sometimes you want to throw your hands up and say, why even bother? I've done the best I could, and it amounts to nothing. Hey, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. Maybe you're here tonight, you serve Jesus, and things ain't going right. And your whole world's turned upside down, and you wonder why in the world's going on. Hey, it's not God's fault. And sometimes it's not even your fault. Hey, sometimes, my friend, it's just the devil has gotten to us, and we've listened to the devil's remarks that God's not good, and that God's not faithful, and that God's not loving, and that God's not kind, and that God's not merciful. Hey, the Bible says that our God is a faithful God, a merciful God, a loving God, a justful God, a compassionate God, a God that gives strength and mercy and grace and help in the time of need. But the devil wants to sift us. You know what the devil told Adam and Eve? The devil come to Adam and Eve and said, Eve, God's not as good to you as he could be, because he's not letting you eat of every fruit of the garden. There's a fruit of the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God's not going to let you eat of it, so you'll be as gods. God is not as good to you as God could be. You ever had the devil tell you that? Boy, I have. I have. Out there knocking on doors and, boy, burning up the gas that God allowed me to put in my car and then tearing the car up and knocking on doors till your knuckles would be bleeding and going out parades, passing out gospel tracts and spending your own money to buy Bibles to hand out to people that you led to the Lord, and you do all that and don't see any fruit, don't see any evidence, and the old devil come along and say, hey, God's not as good to you as he could be. Why are you going to keep on preaching and serving and spending and going? Hey, God is not good to you as he is to others. I've had the devil to tell me that. I've had the devil to tell me that. And then I think about Job. You know what the devil told God? The devil went to God and said, Job. He said, God, Job will curse you to your face if you'll take your hands off of him. The devil's working on both parts. The devil is telling us that God's not good to us. And the devil's going to God and saying, hey, God, if you take your blessings off of him, he'll curse you to your face. Hey, if you remove your hedge of safety and take your hands of blessing and you allow me to touch his life, hey, Job, he's a faithful, upright, he's one that eschew evil. He's one that runs from temptation. But I'm going to tell you, God, if you remove your hands off of him, he will curse you to your face. That's what the devil tells God, that we're not going to be what we should be if God don't bless us. And then the devil comes back to us and say, God's not blessing you the way he could bless you. Well, you see how evil the devil is. I'm going to give him 1 second to speak to you. The Bible says that Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has a desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I want you to look at this, if you will. The second part of this, look in verse 32. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee
that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Hey, when the devil desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, I want you to know something tonight. Hey, Jesus Christ is praying for you right now. Whatever you're going through, whatever problems you're facing, whatever circumstances that you're going to be facing on Monday morning, I want you to know Jesus Christ is praying for you right now. I love it when little children pray. I love it when our children pray. We have youth choir night. When Brother Jeff's not here, we have the youth choir to come up here and sing for us. And Justin, you know what he asked me? He'd come up to me with a real panic look on his face. He'd say, Daddy, who's going to pray tonight? And I said, son, I'll pray tonight. He said, thank you, Daddy. Thank you. But I love it when children pray because they don't know any big words. They don't know how to impress anybody. All they know is to talk to Jesus like he's their friend. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, Peter, Satan has a desire to have you. And he's going to do his best to get to you. But I want you to know in your deepest, darkest hour, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. Look here, if you would, John. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, if you would. Matthew, Mark, Luke, then the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Notice what the Bible says. Boy, this is amazing here. It should encourage your heart tonight. Is anybody going through the sifting process? Is the devil trying to get to any of you tonight? If he is, I want you to know Jesus Christ is praying for you. Here's a long prayer of Jesus Christ in John chapter 17. I want to draw your attention just to verse 9 and then to another verse. In verse 9 of John chapter 17, notice what the Bible says. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Here, the disciples were around Jesus. And I don't know what exactly was taking place, but Jesus began to pray, and he says, God, I'm praying for them that's with me right now. But I'm not with Jesus right now. Jesus is in heaven, sitting on the right hand of God. He's sitting on his throne, waiting for the time to come back, to rapture the church out. So, my friend, right at this moment, Jesus Christ wasn't praying for you and praying for me. He was praying for all them that was around him. But Jesus didn't leave us out. Turn here, if you would, and look at verse 20 of John chapter 17. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in John chapter 17, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And that's exactly who I am tonight. Hey, Peter preached and somebody got saved. And that person preached and led somebody else to Christ. And it went on down and down and down and down. Hey, us, my friend, as Christians, we got an unbroken line from Christ and his disciples. Somebody preached and got saved. Somebody preached and got saved. Somebody preached and got saved. Then finally I heard the gospel. I got saved because of their words, because of their preaching. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, hey, I'm not going to pray for these alone that's with me now, but for all them that's going to believe on me through their words. In other words, right now, Christ is sitting in heaven praying for you and praying for me. I admit my shortcomings. I don't pray for you all the time. You probably don't pray for me all the time. We're probably not in an attitude of prayer all the time like we should be. But Christ in heaven is sitting upon his throne praying for you and praying for me every minute of every day we live. Boy, ain't that something? One old devil comes up to you. He wants to sift you as wheat. And he wants to just get to you and sift you as wheat. And you get to the very last string and you're about to drop and say, God, I can't take it no more. I'm about to crumble. I'm about to implode. I'm about just to give up. Christ lift his nail-pierced hands and say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Those who's in the hospital, Jesus is praying. Us that is getting sifted by the devil, he's praying. He's praying for you. You say, preacher, you don't know my need. You don't know my situation. You don't know my problems. But God does. And he's praying exactly what you need right now. He's praying because he's a loving, tender, merciful Savior. The sifting of the devil, the praying of Jesus. But I want you to get this last thing, the preparing for the future. Even though the devil wants to sift us, you know, it might not happen today. It might happen next week. It might happen next month. It might happen next year. I can tell you right now, I hope I'm loud enough for everybody to hear me. Me and my wife has been experiencing probably one of the greatest months we've ever had in a long time. The last 4 to 5 weeks has been absolutely amazing. But the time's coming when the devil's going to sift and shake and rattle our cages. And beloved, I'm going to tell you right now, what me and my wife is doing right now is preparing us for what takes place then. The preparing for the future. What you do at this moment right now will be determined if you're going to make it through when the devil sifts you. You say, but wait a minute, preacher, Jesus is praying for us. He is. He's praying for you and he's praying for me. But he's given us a free will to do exactly as you want to do. And my friend, right now, what you're doing right now is going to determine whether or not you're going to make it through the sifting process of the devil. When things is good, we don't read our Bibles that much. When things is good, we don't pray like we should. When things is good, we don't depend upon God like we should. But you let problems and troubles and heartaches come, then we'll run to Jesus wide open. I'm going to tell us right now, sometimes the devil's not sifting. The devil's not causing problems. But my friend, we just still need to prepare now for what's going to take place then. You know, we have Sunday school classes for almost every age. We have for babies. They're teaching babies right now how to pray, how to sing songs. They're teaching them right now maybe a few Bible verses. You say, well, they don't comprehend, but they need it now, so when they get older, they'll have it then. And we're teaching the next grade up, hey, Bible verses and Bible stories and life lessons. You say, hey, they're not going to get a job when they're 7 years old. They're not going to get a job when they're 6 years old. But there will become a time when they will grow up and they will get a job. They will make decisions. And we're trying to teach them now that you got to prepare for then. Hey, my friend, we're trying to teach our teenagers right now, every decision they make now will affect their future. Every decision they make now will affect their future. You know what we tell them? Make decisions now so you don't have to make them in the future. Young people, go ahead and decide now, hey, I'm not going to drink one drop of liquor. And then when the time comes and the devil comes to sift you and he gets one of your closest friends, they say, hey, here you go, Tiffany and Reagan and Bianca. Hey, go ahead and just take this one little sip of beer. It's not going to hurt you. Hey, you can stand strong and look the devil in the eye and say, I made a decision 5, 10 years ago that I will not do this and I'm not going to let the devil sift me and put me through the wringer and ruin my life. You know what Jesus said, Peter? Satan has a desire to sift you. Satan has a desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And we know that night. Notice what Peter said in verse 33. And here's Peter talking. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Here Jesus said, Peter, Satan has a desire to have you. It is going to sift you as wheat. Hey, but don't be too afraid because I prayed for you. And Peter said, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. Bring it on. I'm ready. Go ahead and tell the devil to show his big old ugly face. I'm ready. Go ahead and tell him to bring his biggest problem, his biggest temptation, his biggest heartache. Go ahead and tell the devil to bring his whole army because I'm ready. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? I'm ready. But notice what Jesus said. I believe Jesus is speaking to all of us. in verse 34. I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day. Before that, thou shalt thrice deny me that thou knowest me. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, Peter, I pray for you, but Satan's going to have you. Satan's going to get to you because you're not ready. Why wasn't Peter ready? He thought he was. Many times, I'm going to tell you the truth, many times we think we're ready. Oh, devil, you bring the biggest problem you can. I'm spiritually strong enough to take care of it. And when the devil brings a little weak, anemic problem to us, we'll just fall flat on our face and realize we're not able. And beloved, we're not able. But Jesus is. And what I'm trying to share with you tonight is we need to put in our hearts now, hey, we need Jesus more than ever now, because there will be a day when he's the only one we can absolutely depend on then. We need him more now to humble us under the mighty hand of God, that we keep casting our care upon him, that we keep giving our promise to him. Hey, when the little sniffle comes along, give it to Jesus. Hey, when your light bill's $2 higher than you think it should have been, hey, just give it to Jesus. Hey, when you're out of steak and pork chops and you have bologna, hey, just give it to Jesus. Say, Jesus, hey, I can't handle it. I can't take it. It's too much for me. It's out of control. God, just take it all and deal with it and fix it. And God, do what all you can do, so when the big problems come, you ought to use to give them all to Jesus. Here, he said, Peter, Satan's going to sift you as wheat. I pray for you. But Peter, right now, you're not ready. You're going to falter and fall. But I want you to know something. When you're converted, when you get back up, I won't ever judge a man by what makes him fall. But I will judge a man by what keeps him down. You know what Jesus said to Peter? You're going to fall, but get back up and strengthen your brother. My friend, are you ready? Are you preparing now for what's going to take place then? Are we looking to Jesus now, so when times of difficulties and times of problems comes, it's just going to be an automatic habit to give them to Jesus and say, here they are. Here they are. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, and I, that everyone's listened to the Word of God. And I hope all of us has got something from the story about Peter's life, how Satan has a desire to have every one of God's children, that he may sift us as wheat. But we've got a Savior in heaven who's sitting upon his throne, that's praying for us at this very moment. As I'm praying, as others is praying, Jesus is praying. And Father, right now, we need to put in our hearts and mind the things to get us ready for that one day. That day when the greatest temptation, the greatest heartache, the greatest problem will come our way. We can just cast our care upon Jesus. Father, some of us might be at that time now where we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't know how to fix the problem. And it feels like the old devil's trying to sift us. But tonight, help us to realize that Jesus is praying. And his prayers is doing more good than we can ever do on our own. And God, help us to get ready now. Put in our hearts now the love of God. Put in our minds now the grace and mercy and joyfulness of God. So when we go through that sifting process, we won't forget or even doubt what a wonderful Savior we have. As there's things we pondered this morning, when Jesus puts a period, we don't need to put a question mark. What's been settled and written in God's Word, we can say amen to it because it's true. Father, we thank you. We love you tonight. I pray, God, we allow you to help us during this invitation time. And I pray, Father, as men and women would make their way to this altar, that other Christians, other brothers and sisters would kneel beside them and help them pray. And Lord God, help us to realize that Christ is praying for us at this very moment. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet if we will with our eyes closed tonight. The invitation begins. If you know someone's coming to this altar, you come up here with them and pray with them, please. Don't let them pray by themselves. Let me ask you this. Is the devil trying to sift you tonight? You have a problem in your life tonight that's just going out of control. Won't you just come and give it to Jesus? The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Won't you give it to the Lord tonight? This Christian life was not meant to live by yourself. It was not meant to be lived by yourself. It's meant to be lived with Christ's help, your church's help, your pastor's help, your family's help, your brothers and sisters in Christ, their help. You've got a problem, you've got a concern, you've got a temptation, you've got something that's bigger than you tonight. Won't you bring it to Jesus? Won't you just bring it to Jesus? I know it's not a salvation message, but maybe tonight, you know you need to give your heart to Jesus. The devil's been sifting you long enough. He's been controlling your life long enough. Won't you give your heart to Jesus? Won't you ask him to forgive your sins and by faith trust in him tonight? He'll save you. He will save you. Whatever's in your life tonight, God's greater. God's better. The devil desires to have you, but if you're saved, God already got you. There's no way the devil can take you away from God. He has a desire to have you, but God's already got you. Thank God for that. Father, we truly love you tonight. Thank you for being so good, so faithful. God, we can stand up here and we'll never doubt the goodness and faithfulness of our Savior. Lord, sometimes we're not able to see it clearly enough. Sometimes we get so busy and so caught up in this world that we don't have time to look back and remember the goodness of God. But God, tonight you've been so good to all of us. And I truly thank you for that. I pray, God, the day when the devil comes to sift us, sift all of us, I pray, Father, we look back on this day and say, God's put something in my heart that night that's going to get me through this time. I remember the love of God, the faithfulness of God. His tender mercies is new every morning. And God is greater than any problem I would ever face. And he'll see me through. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. God, I pray you'll help us this week to live for you.